I'm Karen Given, and it's time for Three Stories You Should Know. The NBA's best players are gathered in Charlotte for All-Star Weekend, but we're going to start this week by talking about two teams without much star power. Joining me are the Wall Street Journal's Jason Gay. Welcome, Jason.
Welcome to me. Yes, thank you.
And sports writer Shireen Ahmed via Skype. Welcome, Shireen.
Hi, Karen. Hi, Jason.
The Phoenix Suns and the New York Knicks have been spectacularly good at being bad this season. The Suns went into the All-Star break on a 15-game losing streak. The Knicks, unfortunately, won on Thursday night, ending their 18-game losing streak. And the reason why that's unfortunate is that everyone is assuming that these two teams, and probably a couple more, are tanking, trying to get the top pick in the 2019 draft. This is despite new rules that went into effect this season. Under those new rules, the bottom three teams will have an equal chance at getting the top pick, just 14% odds. And I don't know about you guys, but I don't stake anything on 14% odds. So I guess I'm wondering, are the Knicks and the Suns and others really tanking because they're hoping to get that top draft pick and turn everything around next season? Or are they losing games because they know fans will still show up and buy beer and pay for parking, and therefore there's really no good reason to even try to win? Jason, what do you think?
Well, I live in the basketball-deprived city of New York, where the Knicks have taken losing to basically artistic heights. The 21st century has been incredibly unkind to this franchise. And so when you say the Knicks are tanking and that this could perhaps be a strategy, I only offer to you the last couple decades of Knicks history to say that strategy has not really worked out for this franchise repeatedly. So the prospect of a 14% chance, basically a scratch ticket to revive this franchise, and we can put aside the whole like sub-drama of whether or not the Knicks will be able to recruit top-tier free agents, which feels fantasy and unicorn-like to me. I don't know how it's going to happen.
And I say this, and I might come across as smug, sitting happily in Toronto, home of the fabulous Raptors. I could look at it another way and say, do they really want draft pick number one when Steph Curry was draft pick 270? So there's always hope somewhere, somewhere. And I just would like to remind everybody in New York, hint, hint, the Liberty, the WNBA is a fabulous team. And if you're looking for excitement and thrill in some fabulous basketball, look no further than the women.
And I have to do my diligence as a Brooklyn resident. Over the bridge, you have the Nets, which are flirting with the playoffs and 500. So there is basketball rays of sunlight with the Liberty and the Nets.
I love how we just completely left the Suns out of this conversation.
Like,
you know,
yeah,
they're terrible, but nobody cares because they're not New York or LA.
I just feel the Phoenix Suns slogan should be, we're not the Knicks, okay? That should be their shingle outside the stadium to free agents and everybody like that. Look, we have warmth and we're not the Knicks.
I mean, I cared about the Suns once upon a time when Steve Nash was there.
Those days are long over.
Long gone.
All right, Jason, you're batting second this week. What do you got?
All right. Well, listen, I don't need to tell you both that millions of Americans are still amid the bleak hellscape of winter. Vast swaths of the country.
Canadians, too.
And North America remain cold, gray, and joyless. But I have good news. Down south, where they possess such things as green grass, sunlight, and fun, we now have spring training baseball. The problem is we don't have all the baseball players. Dozens and dozens and dozens and dozens of free agents remain unsigned and unemployed. As of the week's end, and this can change at any minute, you know how baseball works. The two biggest free agents in the game, Bryce Harper and Manny Machado, are also unsigned and unemployed. Baseball players, they're frustrated. They think money bag owners are just ganging up to drive down salaries and lengths of contracts. And owners, they deny all this, of course, and simply say they're trying to be prudent. But it's weird. Look at the NBA, where you got a guy like Anthony Davis. Teams are fighting for this guy. Mm-hmm. He's not even a free agent for another 18 months. It's the question of the spring. Why is baseball spending in such a deep freeze?
I mean, baseball has millions and millions of dollars. It's notably America's pastime. I think the conservatism that we see in spending and throwing away money is a part of the culture there. And I don't know why so many are unsigned, but I think it has something to do with frenzy. And correct me if I'm wrong, when the signings happen, they all happen like when it rains, it pours.
That's true.
And I don't know if that's to keep everybody excited or anxious. I sit up comfortably in the frozen wonderland and follow the Toronto Blue Jays because they're fun and the tickets are cheap and the French fries are fantastic at the Rogers Stadium.
I was reading an article actually by a couple of Jason's colleagues at the Wall Street Journal. It built a really good argument for what might be going on here by comparing free agency in baseball and free agency in basketball. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to completely oversimplify it here because we don't have 3 hours. But basically, the NBA has all sorts of restrictions on what players can be paid. So teams end up in a race to sign the best players. That's why LeBron James was only a free agent for 24 hours. But in Major League Baseball, teams can basically pay players whatever they want. And of course, they want to pay them as little as possible. So there's really no benefit to hurrying. Like, why hurry? If you make them wait, they might accept less. And I feel like a lot of people are looking at the lack of signings and reading in some sort of like baseball is dying and the teams are finally admitting it. And so that's why no one is getting signed. But I happen to think that teams are just realizing this.
I think you're onto something. I think that the big thing here is that baseball doesn't have a salary cap. Every other major sport has a salary cap. Baseball, you don't have that kind of thing. The sky is the limit. And baseball does actually have a history of a lot of teams just going out there and spending crazy on athletes who deliver on the first 3, 4, or 5 years of a contract. But those long-term deals can turn into very serious albatrosses late in the careers. We look at a guy like Albert Pujols, who signed a 10-year, $250 million deal with the Anaheim Angels, which what are they now? The Los Angeles or Orange County Angels or whatever they are.
Track.
The Oceanic Angels of California. There's a lot of regret for deals like that. And I think that that's what teams are afraid of. You know, it's not unthinkable that you'd have Bryce Harper and Manny Machado without a club come opening day, which is wacky. And and that would be truly bad for baseball.
Yeah. All right, Shireen, you're up.
So this is a really interesting story and one that definitely caught my attention. It's about a business owner named Stephen Martin in Colorado Springs, and he was the owner of a sports store in a mall. He had decided to pull all Nike items, apparel, goods from his shelves in protest of Kaepernick's ad campaign. He has been quoted as to say, "A sports store without Nike is like a gas station without gas."
It just goes to show that any sort of rash reaction to anything, everyone just needs to take a breath. You know, these folks who were setting their Nikes on fire on barbecues or burning their season tickets or jerseys, and then this gentleman who removes all the Nike. You know, Nike is by far the biggest sportswear apparel company in the world. Taking it out of your sporting goods store? I mean, what was left? A bunch of like ping pong balls and like tennis rackets? I don't understand. It just seems to be such an overreaction.
Okay, so I just want to start by saying I fully support this business owner's right to put himself out of business by refusing to sell the most popular sporting goods brand on the planet.
Right.
But I think a lot of people, including Stephen Martin, are reading into this that there are more Kaepernick supporters out there than Martin thought. I think that that's the wrong thing to take from this. I mean, Nike is a huge brand with huge brand loyalty, which is why they can afford to take risks and they can afford to sign Colin Kaepernick. And it's not going to affect their bottom line. But I think there really are still a whole lot of people out there who hate Colin Kaepernick and are glad he doesn't have a job in the NFL.
Well, I mean, absolutely. Just as Jason alluded to, people are burning their jerseys and, you know, it's just, it's really weird because my first instinct, and I'll admit this, is like, hey, give them to me. I'll take them.
And totally. I'm a size 11 if anybody wants to burn their sneakers.
I think the most important thing here is to keep in mind as well that Nike is not a company that does everything on humanitarian grounds. They're a corporation.
Of course.
This entire campaign has absolutely multiplied their profits. But the irony is the corporate greed of Nike actually won out. I'm sorry, Mr. Martin, that your business closed down, but you can always open up another one that's doomed to fail if you don't want Nike.
My guests for this week's edition of Three Stories You Should Know have been sports writer Shireen Ahmed and The Wall Street Journal's Jason Gay. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Have you subscribed to the Only a Game podcast yet? It's the best way to make sure you never miss a minute of our show. Go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever you get your podcasts. And thanks.